Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We're doing a quick analysis on the Al-Aqsa storm. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are doing a quick analysis on the Al-Aqsa storm in order to talk a little bit about the ins and outs of this recent Al-Aqsa storm. We have Sheikh Ali Qummi with us. We're going to go ahead and just get started. So let's go ahead and welcome him. Sheikh Ali Qummi, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
Jazakallah, thank you for joining us, taking time out of your busy schedule, coming out and talking about something that is really incredibly important, something that is unprecedented in the history of Palestine. So, you know, without any further introduction, we want to just get right into the details. So first and foremost, Sheikh Ali, what was your immediate reaction to these events that transpired in occupied Palestine, specifically talking about the Al-Aqsa storm, in the name of Allah?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani al-a'in rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, like you said, you know, it's unprecedented. So alhamdulillah, the good news and the show of strength of the Palestinian youth, and it's a success of the entire resistance camp, that today Palestine is where it should have been years and decades ago. Mm-hmm. That is to be able to defend itself at the hands of the oppressors and aggressors. Mm-hmm. So it is a very good news, and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, it is a success for the entire camp of the oppressed and the resistance camp, that they're able to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you act on a verse of Quran, right, you should feel proud about it.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And I would say that Palestinians, the Palestinian youth, the Palestinian resistance, they've been able to follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran when Allah says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitani al-a'in rajim, an taqumu lillahi mathna wa furada."
Mashallah.
You know, stand up, rise up for the sake of Allah. Mm-hmm. Whether you are single or in pairs.
Or in pairs.
Right? This is exactly what we see transpired today. So congratulations to the resistance camp. Mm. Congratulations to the Palestinian youth to be able to stand up against the oppressors who have been demonizing them for 70 plus years.
Mm. Sure, yeah.
Right? And today, alhamdulillah, they're in a position where they are responding to the call of Quran, to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the call of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and they are resisting them and their people and their land.
You know, Sheikh Ali Qummi, here is really interesting, this idea about congratulations, right? So a lot of people, they really don't look at it in that manner. Though what's interesting is we've seen in across the Islamic world, you know, in various countries, that people have celebrated this and they are congratulating one another. You know, if you'd like to comment on that, that, you know, that this is something to be proud of. This is something that the Palestinian youth have been able to achieve despite overwhelming odds.
Well, let me tell you, for any individual throughout the world, wherever they are, if they stand up for the rights of the oppressed, they should feel proud of themselves. They should feel that they have fulfilled a religious obligation and a responsibility. Just like when you fast, for instance, right, in the month of Ramadan, right? You should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should feel good that you have abided by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commands of Holy Quran that you fasted. Similarly, resisting against oppression, supporting the oppressed, defending the rights of the oppressed, defending Islamic lands, protecting Muslims, protecting oppressed, regardless of their faith, even if they are Christians and Jewish, protecting them and defending them, it is something that you should pat your back on it, right? And
exactly,
thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you had the tawfiq, right? Mashallah. So this is what we say to the Palestinian resistance, and we are thankful to them that they did it on our behalf. It's a wajib kifai to do this. According to Islamic jurisprudence, it is a wajib kifai to defend the sanctities of Islam, the Muslims, the oppressed people of the world. Palestinians, they did it on our behalf. So they took care of a wajib that was wajib on your shoulder, my shoulder, everybody's shoulder. Today they are defending and they're standing tall. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that's a good news.
Alhamdulillah. Now the next thing though that we kind of want to talk about here is this whole Al-Aqsa storm and this operation or this mission that occurred, does this in some way show the failure of the Zionist regime? And if it does show the failure, then how so?
Well, definitely, and we would say it out loud, that it is a very blatant and clear failure of the security and the intelligence apparatus of the Zionist regime of Israel.
Right.
So if we turn to the statement that Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei in his recent speech made, he said, the usurping Zionist regime, both in terms of its military and its intelligence apparatus, has incurred an unrepairable defeat.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has said it was a failure. My emphasis is that it is unrepairable.
Mm-hmm.
This is Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, mm-hmm. Just on October 10th, I believe, yes.
Right.
The recent speech on October 10th, mm-hmm. he's made it very clear that it is a defeat of the Zionist regime,
mm-hmm.
that they were attacked at the hands of a few mu'min and few Muslims. You know,
sure,
it's not a government
sure.
fighting them or anything, you know, it's not
right,
like an
right.
entire camp of resistance fighting them.
Right.
It's just few of these
Freedom fighters,
Palestinians. Those who are standing up for the rights of the oppressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, I would like to say that it is the failure of the camp of the oppressors,
mm-hmm.
not so, just the Zionist regime.
So
of
not
Israel.
Just the Zionist regime has failed militarily and as far as the intelligence
exactly.
apparatus.
Exactly.
You're saying that the whole camp
exactly.
that is on that side has
exactly.
failed.
You
okay.
look at mm-hmm. the American-made drones that are at the disposal of the Zionist regime of Israel
sure.
to spy on its neighbors and beyond.
Right.
Yeah?
Right.
You look at the Iron Dome that mm. they have, again, you know, a gift from the West
sure,
to
sure.
quote-unquote protect them. What happened to that defense capability that you had? F-35 fighter jets.
Fighter jets, right.
Right.
Top of the line.
So all that might, right, that was accrued by you, it is trampled over, run over.
Sure.
By, again, a few freedom fighters.
Right.
Right? This is a victory for the Palestinians, and it is a shame for the Zionist regime of Israel that despite all this pomp and show, you know, this whole thing, oh, they're the strongest in the region in terms of their intelligence, you know, they're spying on the global leaders, you know, the Mossad is capable of doing this, and they have been doing this. Defense system from UK and France, you know.
Sure, yes.
Where did all of this go?
Yeah, the perhaps billions of dollars in financial aid
exactly.
which the United States gives to
exactly.
Israel on a yearly basis,
so
along
look,
with the other aid
yeah.
that they give them.
Look how they've been ashamed by Allah subhanahu
yeah,
wa ta'ala.
Humiliated.
Right? And humiliated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ That if you, you know, help Allah, if you support Allah or Allah's deen, then He's going to help you.
Sure.
Helping the oppressed is helping Allah.
Right.
Right? And Allah
right.
said, I'm going to make your feet firm. And we see that this is what Palestinians are today. Their feet are firm. They're not scared of those superpowers that even the countries of the world are not ready to stand up against.
Sure.
Right?
Speak out against, yeah.
These Palestinians, they stood up against the entire camp of oppressors and aggressors, those who control the world. It's not a small thing.
It's huge. And I mean, I really want to echo what you said because it is something that's very profound. You know, supposedly the Israeli Zionist regime, as you said, it is, you know, said to be one of the probably the strongest militaries in the world. I mean, is up there among the top 10 or so, right?
Yeah.
All of the latest military and intelligence equipment is at the disposal
okay.
of the Zionist regime. And, you know, so you have positioned yourself to be such a powerful player, you know, I'm going to go up against Iran and these kind of things. But in reality, you weren't able to stop these few Palestinian freedom fighters. You know, it is humiliating.
Just look at the
really
failure of their
amazing.
Intelligence.
It's miraculously humiliating.
Right. Look at their intelligence, right? So basically what we're looking at is that hundreds of missiles, actually thousands of missiles, get stacked up on your border.
Right. At least 7,000 is what they 5,000
is the first day, I think they
yeah,
did 5,000 to 7,000 different counts, right?
Right.
They get stacked up. Now, a missile is not like a bullet, right? A missile is a huge thing, big thing. And then it requires a missile launcher.
Right.
How did all this stuff made it to Israel's border?
Yeah.
Right? Without them knowing about it.
Yeah. It's really a
I don't want to call it a miracle, but honestly, what else is it?
I mean, really. You know,
good planning, like diligence, secrecy, privacy, making sure that they know what they're dealing with, making sure that the Palestinians know the intelligence capabilities of the Zionist regime.
Right.
This is all too sophisticated. And like I said, it's not like an entire, you know, governmental structure that is there. No, it's just ordinary people who are defending their rights, who are defending their land, who are defending their people, right? And they're sick and tired of the Zionist regime of Israel coming in, attacking them every day in different forms and shape.
Right.
They humiliate and disgrace them and disgust them every day.
Sure.
So now is the time that the Palestinians are like, enough is enough.
Yeah, enough is enough.
I mean, going all the way to this point, and then those paragliders, you know, that was like first time I think I've seen it at this scale at least. And in the history of the Zionist regime occupying the Palestinian land and Palestinian defending their right, this is the first time that I've seen a response at this scale by the Palestinians.
Sure, sure.
You know, this is like very, very big, very huge. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, they've been able to pull it off.
You know, Sheikh Ali, I want to kind of add one thing here before we move on the discussion. But that's the idea that Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei used the word unrepairable, meaning the damage or the defeat is such that, well, it's unrepairable, right? So that kind of shows that, for example, I don't know if you want to analyze it just very quickly. Mm. My take is that, for example, a certain weakness or an inherent weakness in the Zionist regime has come forth, which is now open for everybody to see.
Awesome.
And you can no longer call yourself the big bully in the neighborhood, you know, because everybody has seen how incredibly weak you are. If you'd like to comment on that.
This is actually beautiful, the way you put it, Asant. See, if you remember Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, a few years ago, maybe over a decade ago, he said that the Zionist regime of Israel is weaker than a spider's web.
Yes.
It's a verse of Quran that he used in this context publicly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And at that time, I remember like many analysts, even like Muslims, even like, you know, some of the Shias and the followers of Ahlul Bayt, they're like, well, it's a little, you know,
far-fetched.
It's
not a spider's web. It's a fortress.
Like, it's like very strong. And look at, you know, those intelligence agencies testifying for the strength of Israel's intelligence capabilities. And that country is giving this statement. That head of state is giving this, you know. So people took that statement, some people, but they with a pinch of salt.
Right.
You know, let's be honest.
Right,
and
right.
It's unfortunate that sometimes, you know, this is what we see, that the people that we're supposed to trust, we don't trust them.
Yeah.
We trust the mainstream media, and sometimes we trust, you know, people who don't even have a credible track record. You know,
these
heads of
states
of different Western countries and so on and so forth, and the United Nations and so on and so forth, Security Council, they hold no credibility, so to speak, right?
Right.
But unfortunately, in some cases, our mu'mineen, they trust them too, instead of trusting people like Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, about whom even the enemy says that the person doesn't lie.
Yeah, amazing.
Right? Similarly, if you look at Imam Khamenei, similarly, if you look at statements from Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah Sistani, you know, many amongst this camp of resistance, Abdul Malik al-Husi, Sayyid Hashim al-Haydri, you know, these are the people we're supposed to start trusting.
Sure.
Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah informed us back then. Some of us didn't buy into it. Today, the Palestinians prove it.
They proved it,
that it was just a hoax.
It was just a hoax,
You know, yes, they have this pounding the Gaza capability, you know, they can drop bombs from the air, but they're in no position to defend themselves, you know, from the attacks of the Mujahideen who are going to reclaim their own land back from these occupiers, right?
Yeah.
They know this, right? The camp of resistance knows it. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, the world is seeing it today, that this is unrepairable damage that has been incurred to the Zionist regime and its grandeur, so to speak, right?
Right. So, Sheikh Ali, another one of the things that we see following the media is this idea that this is a conflict that is between Jews and Muslims, right? So kind of trying to paint a very religious warfare type thing. It's Jews versus Muslims, it's Muslims versus Jews. I mean, is this the reality on the ground? Is this a religious war that is going on?
Well, the first thing we need to know is that there are not two factions, but three factions that are at play here. Mm. The first faction is, of course, the Muslims. The second faction is, of course, the Jewish people.
Right.
The third faction is the Zionists. Mm. Whoever has this analysis that this is a fight between Muslims and Jews is completely mistaken. They have not understood what is going on the ground.
Mm. It is Palestinian oppressed on one side.
And that includes Christians. That includes
Muslims.
Jewish. That includes Muslims. Mm. That includes all the dominations and denominations
of the native Palestinians.
The Palestinians, right?
Ascent,
And on the other hand, we're dealing with the Zionist enemy. Mm. Zionism is not a religion, for the record. It's a political ideology.
Right.
And we have spoken about it before, too.
Well, to prove it, many Orthodox Jews and Jewish rabbis
throughout the world,
Jewish scholars, they're not just like laymen, they're Jewish scholars, vehemently and seriously and severely oppose the Zionist regime across the world, to the point where they call them heretics.
Yeah. So the Zionism basically is a political ideology, and this whole philosophy of Israel's existence to begin with is based on Zionism and Zionist dream and its expansionist policy and expansionist future, which, alhamdulillah, the resistance has been able to contain them for all these years.
This Nile to the Euphrates.
The Nile to Euphrates is one of their slogans, and they're openly spelling it out, right?
Sure,
even
sure.
the lobbies in the United States of America, like AIPAC and all that, you know, the Zionists sitting in America, they're supporting them because of this dream. They have nothing to do with, you know, these people otherwise.
Sure.
They don't know who these people are, you know, who were brought in from all over Europe. And they can care less for these European people who were brought here in this occupied place. The only reason the lobbies like AIPAC, they are supporting these people living in the so-called Israel is because of that dream of Zionism. And by the way, Zionism is not confined to Jewish. They are Christian Zionists. There are even some Muslim Zionists.
I'm sure they're atheist Zionists.
Right? They're atheist Zionists. You know, they come in all flavors, right? As they say it. So, you know, this is not a war between
Jews and Muslims.
Right? And as a matter of fact, if you look at Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei and the overall camp of resistance, they've made it very clear so many times. That it is not a war against Jewish. We're not anti-Jewish. We are anti-Zionists.
Yes.
And again, the proof of that is because the rabbis, the Orthodox Jewish rabbis, they're on this side with us too.
Yeah.
They call for the peaceful dismantlement of this illegitimate and illegal Zionist regime.
Right.
There are videos all over the internet. They get, you know, beating. There are like so many of them in New York and, you know, people that we worked with while
Netarai
back in the
Karta
day.
And these kind of guys. Yeah.
Exactly, right?
They actually met Sayyid Ibrahim Raisi
just
on
recently,
the sidelines of the UN meeting.
Yeah. So these people, because they are for peace, just like our people are for peace, you know, this camp calls for peace. And the peace is only possible if the right of the oppressed is returned to the oppressed.
And the oppressor, you know, stops oppressive oppression.
Ways. Yeah, they are stopped and their hands are, you know, tied from committing these oppressions. And the only way to do it is the obliteration and annihilation of the Zionist regime.
The occupier.
At the hands of the natives and the original people of that land, right? This is what we're dealing with. So if anybody is telling you that this is a battle between
Jews
and Muslims, or Jews and Christians, or Christians and Muslims, or whatever, you know, they either are
ill-informed,
they don't know what the reality is, or chances are high that they're trying to trick you.
Yeah.
Right? And then they start beating this drum of, you know, peace, 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 peace. Peace with who? Baby killer regime?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Did we ever have peace with Yazid? What is there to have peace with an occupier that believes in demolishing your houses and has done it?
Eradicating you.
And has practically done it.
Yeah.
You know, look at the map of
for 70 years.
Palestine, when it was Palestine, to what it is today.
Mm.
You know, all that occupation. So if anybody, even a scholar, a preacher, right, even a lecturer, is trying
speaker.
To sell you this, know that there are ulterior motives. They are working for the Zionists, and they just want to take the focus away.
Mm.
So you do not stand up for the rights of the oppressed, the Palestinian oppressed, right?
Yeah.
So very clearly, it is a war between oppressors and the oppressed.
Right. Jazakallah. Right?
Mm. Nothing more.
Yeah. Very well said. One of the things that we see, you know, on the media, and it is constantly being pushed by the mainstream media, you know, is how Israel is the victim. And the mainstream media on a global level is really pushing this whole Israel is the victim. And conveniently, Israel is also calling itself the victim. And they're playing this victim card, you know what I mean? I mean, is this accurate? Is Israel here really the victim?
Well, first of all, it really sounds good, you know, that they are on the receiving end for, you know, the first time maybe, you know, at this scale at least.
At this scale, the first time, yeah.
For 70 years, non-stop acts of violence, terrorism in the entire region, especially Palestine, was committed at the hands of these Israelis.
Israeli Zionists. Mm.
So today, if they're saying that they're a victim, well, I would say this is a good thing for a change to begin with.
At least now you know what the Palestinians have been feeling for the last 70 years.
Exactly. That's one point, right? The second point is, we go to the statement of Imam Khamenei, and he elaborates this point very beautifully. He says, this evil and oppressive enemy, the Zionist entity, now that it has been slapped, it has started a policy of showing itself to be the victim. And others are also helping it. This showing itself to be a victim is 100% untrue and false. And no one can change the face of this demon-natured monster into a victim.
Demon-natured monster.
This is Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei on the 10th of October.
Sure.
Just recent speech, right?
Yeah.
After the thing started and they're playing the victim card, started playing the victim card. We ask very humbly that when the Palestinians are taking the beating, losing their land, losing their houses, losing their lives, losing their honor and prestige,
everything.
Having no right to return, right? Their babies are being killed, hospitals are being bombed. And this is the history that I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The camps, the concentration camps, you know, they are being, you know, completely and brutally attacked.
Yeah, the refugee camps.
Refugee camps, right? Well, where is the entire world and the entire world media talking about them to be the victims? At that point, they would show you the pictures of, you know, some of the freedom fighters, Hamas, and, you know, name them other freedom fighters, you know, carrying a gun to portray, they deserve what they're going through. As soon as Israel gets the slap on both its cheeks, right?
Sure.
They start to play, we're the innocent, we're the victim here.
Mm.
Well, by what definition? Your occupier, you took up the challenge, and today, the innocent people who you oppressed for all these years, their next generations are fighting you back. Actually, those people are dead. They've been killed by you.
Or they're too old now.
They're too old or killed by you, you know, most of them.
Or killed by you, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Today, their generation is standing up to fight you. So by what definition do you become a victim? By no means is Israel a victim. It is an oppressor, aggressor that deserves to be punished. You know, if you look
just
at
like any
the
criminal.
Definition of justice, justice has to be served. Justice is not going to look at, you know, if you're a minority, if you're a majority. No, you oppressed a nation, and not just a nation. We are focusing on Palestine. The crime list of the Zionist regime of Israel, its spying apparatus, and its, you know, military interventions and so on and so forth in other
operations.
Places, the covert operations. It's a long list. We're focusing on Palestine at the moment, right? If you have committed the crime, you know, in the court of law, you have to be served with justice. This is the bottom line. You can't just say, this murderer, you know, if we hang him till death, you know, this is something, you know, that turns him into victim. Mm. No, he's a murderer to begin with.
Yeah.
Remember this. And this is very important.
This is an interesting example. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
This is a very important point. Mm. Remember the beginning of the Zionist regime of Israel. Mm. It didn't start yesterday. It started 70 years ago, mm. right? They're usurpers. They're occupiers. They're baby killers, mm. right? They bombed the infrastructure of a sovereign nation. They have actually oppressed the people, right? Millions
for
have been displaced mm. for generations. How in the world can somebody, anybody who has a little bit of conscience, you know, label them as victims?
Mm. It's actually really shameful, to be honest with you. I mean, if you'd like to kind of comment on that, that I mean, like you said, this with all the list of crimes and all these various things, I mean, who in their right mind will go and say, no, these people are the victims? I mean, I think that example of yours was very eloquent. You know, so this criminal, you know, goes to jail, let's say a life sentence, and then you say, oh, this poor guy is the victim. Well, what about the crimes that he committed, which led to this point
this conclusion.
In time,
exactly.
where, you know, justice was served to them?
Imam Khamenei said that it is their own policies mm. and what they did for all these 70 years that has resulted in what we are seeing right now in the form of Palestinians rising up for their own rights, mm. right?
Yes.
Even now, you look at, you know, the jails of the Israel, of the mm. Zionist regime, how many Palestinians are
well,
in there?
Arbitrary detentions.
Arbitrary
Most
detentions?
Of them haven't even seen a judge or a
they
court.
Don't, they don't, in many cases, they don't have the right to challenge it.
Yeah.
They don't
yeah,
have the right to attorney. Yeah,
you know, this is why they go on hunger strike.
Yeah.
The recent, one of the Palestinian prisoners, excuse me, recently, they actually died because of the hunger strike. Yeah. Because of they were in administrative detention for years.
We have to remember the very existence of the Zionist regime is illegal to begin with.
Sure, yeah.
It's illegitimate to begin with.
Yeah.
So by no definition, by no standards of the definition of victim, they qualify to be called a victim. It's just the, you know, Zionist media and the imperialist media and the corporate media that is trying to twist it in this way.
Yeah.
Because they can't cover up and hide the fact that the one of the most powerful so-called country or so-called nation in this region, it was defeated, slapped, and humiliated at the hands of the Mujahideen of Islam.
Yeah. So Sheikh Ali, I did wanna my next question, because this is also something that we see a lot on the media, is this idea. It kind of goes along with this whole playing the victim on behalf of the Zionist regime, and that is that this a lot of innocent civilians are being killed. Now, what's interesting is that for the most part, in the mass media, the Palestinians that are being killed are not referred to as innocent civilians. You know, they'll say women and children have died, but they will refrain from calling them innocent civilians. Civilians have been killed. But when it comes to the Zionist Israeli side, the side of the occupier, even the soldier all of a sudden, you know, becomes an innocent civilian.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to comment on that you know, these are all innocent civilians in mm-hmm. Israel, and then, you know, everybody in Palestine is not an innocent civilian, even if they're a child or an old person.
Yeah. If you allow, you know, I would like to continue it from my last point, that first we have to decide whether the occupation that was carried out back in 1948, right, is it something that is legal according to international standards, according to human standards, according to standards of the people of conscience or not? If somebody says that Israel somehow, the Zionist regime of Israel, coming out of nothing, right, its occupation of the Palestinian land and Palestinian people and all the tortures that they have done for them, it was legal, then there's a discussion that we can do that whether there are civilians or army personnel. Mm. If our conclusion is that the Zionist regime of Israel's very inception, because the foundation is based on zulm and oppression,
And illegality
and illegitimacy, right? Mm. The question doesn't apply in this case. Mm. They're all occupiers. That's who they are. They're not civilians. So it's not like, you know, some of them are the occupiers, some of them are drug dealers, some of them are, you know, let's say, gang leaders, some of them are politicians, some of them are like, you know, just ordinary people, and some are civilians, and some are, no, they're all occupiers who have illegally occupied somebody else's land. And like we said before, if we come to this conclusion, then we are compelled and comfortable to say that the justice has to be served.
And they're not civilians.
They're not civilians.
All occupiers.
Imam Sayyid Ali
Khamenei. Occupying somebody else's land.
Imam Khamenei, on May 7th, 2021, he says, from the very first day, the Zionists have turned the usurped Palestine into a terrorist base. Israel isn't a country. Rather, it is a terrorist garrison fighting against the Palestinian nation and other Muslim nations. Fighting against this despotic Zionist regime is fighting against oppression and terrorism. And this is everyone's responsibility.
Sure.
You know, because if we say that these guys are just innocent civilians, well, let's start calling Daesh innocent civilians too then.
Who occupied lands in Syria.
Let's
and
start
Iraq.
Calling KKK innocent civilians too then. No, when you commit a crime,
You're no longer a civilian.
Exactly.
First and foremost, you're a criminal.
And these guys, by the very existence, are the occupiers.
Coming and stealing the land of other people.
So this whole idea that the media is using to derail the innocent minds, especially the youth who not necessarily in some cases know the history of Palestine.
Sure.
They're like, oh, this is like, you know, they show a picture of something and they go like, oh, this oppression has been done in Israel. Well, it's not like, you know, this side or that side. One is the occupied, the other is the occupier.
Right.
One is the oppressed, the other is the oppressor. Let's keep the definitions in their own place. You can't just compare apples to oranges. And say, oh, this side is also committing this, this side is also committing that. No.
It kind of shows you how, so for example, in the traditions, we find that the closer we get to the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, that the sides and the places of truth and falsehood will be switched. And you very clearly see it in the present day, you know, how very easily, you know, that real, true victim is considered to be the criminal, and the real criminal is considered to be the victim. And here, the innocent civilian is not considered to be an innocent civilian. And the
They're Hamas fighters and terrorists or whatever, right?
If somebody does a little bit of research and see some of the statements of Israeli governmental officials regarding the Palestinian people, I mean, it's really mind-boggling, right? Yeah. So, for example, they say that, you know, a terrorist came out from Gaza and they were affiliated to a family, so kill their children, you know? Or recently you see that it's like, you know, you had a handful of freedom fighters come out and do this Al-Aqsa storm. So the whole Gaza Strip needs to be, you know, no gas, no electricity, carpet bomb the place. I mean, I don't know, it's just really
look up the number. Just go and look up the numbers of innocent babies who have been killed by the Zionist regime, the occupier Zionist regime in Palestine. You know, unfortunately, you know, it's part of that psychological warfare that is going on, right?
Sure.
The soft war, where they play with words to play with your mind.
Right.
They switch the roles, right? Start calling the terrorist innocent civilian, and those who are defending their own rights and fighting for their own liberation to be the terrorists.
Right.
You know,
they
just switch the terminology, right?
Yeah.
And this is a game they have been playing for years, right? So this is where all the people of the world, free people of the world, they need to start realizing the verbiage that the mainstream media uses when they're talking about Palestine or Palestinians, when they're talking about the Zionists and you know, the oppressors. Just notice the verbiage that they're using, you know.
Sure, sure.
And this is again part of that psychological warfare and the soft war.
I just wanted to add one quick point about this psychological warfare. What's really interesting is, as I was following the news, so on October 7th, when the Palestinians went and, you know, tried to regain the occupied land that was in the hands of the Zionists, it was all over the front page on the media. And there were big pictures, big videos, big bold titles, you know, on all of the mainstream media channels, right? It was everywhere. And then when the Zionist regime started to attack Palestine, the Gaza Strip, right, primarily, then all of a sudden the pictures and the videos became very small. The titles became very small. It went to a corner of the front page. You know, another this psychological warfare, where to the point where now a lot of people don't even know that, you know, buildings are being destroyed. This the whole place is no gas, no electricity, no water. It's just, we're going to starve everybody.
Insanity that they're doing what they're doing right now is insanity.
And nowhere do you see it.
No, there's no talk about the victim, that the Palestinians are victim. They are subjected to oppression. No, nothing. Right. Here, I would like to say, like Netanyahu, he said that Gaza Strip should be evacuated, right? Something on those lines, because we are going to attack it, and you know, the innocent civilians or whatever, you know, they need to evacuate. Well, first of all, go where? Evacuate their land and go where?
Can I add a little part to that so that, that you can kind of explain it? So what all of a sudden is coming out is that, well, Netanyahu and the Zionist regime, they were merciful enough to give advance warning to the Palestinians and
mercy
say,
and these guys, you know, don't chime
right?
together.
And it's like, you know, why don't you guys, you know, we're telling you Gazans, we're going to carpet bomb the place, so please, you know, evacuate. And I want you to continue with your answer, which is evacuate to where?
Right.
This is their own homeland, right? Right? But the second thing that is being thrown out there is, well, look, you know, the Palestinian resistance fighters, they didn't have the common decency to tell the Israelis that, listen, you know, advance warning, we're going to come, you know, Al-Aqsa storm you guys. And so they were so, you know, they didn't have the common decency to do that. If you want to comment on that in the whole thing.
Sejan, my question is, haven't they been telling you for 70 years to get the hell out of the occupied lands and let us reclaim the land for the Palestinians, the original Palestinians? Have they not been saying it for 70 years?
Giving
every
warnings.
Every day, giving warnings, you know, just evacuate, evacuate, evacuate. How long do you expect them to keep saying evacuate, evacuate, evacuate?
Or at least leave us alone, for
that
God's
is,
sake.
That is their original demand. That is their original demand. Evacuate, just go to where you came from. You know, go back to Europe, or, you know, if Germany was not nice to you, you know, claim a land in
go
Germany.
Go to France, Spain.
Go to America. And,
Netherlands,
you know,
I heard, is real nice.
I actually, you know, saw something really interesting, a two-state solution picture, and it showed the U.S. map, and it drew a line in the middle, and they're like, I accept two-state solution.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Give some land to these poor Israelis, the victims.
Yeah.
In the United States of America,
innocent
there's a
civilians.
Lot of barren and empty land
there's
that
lot,
you can
yeah.
dump some garbage on.
Yeah.
Take it. Claim North. Your dump from this area and this region, yeah?
Yeah.
So the question is, have they not been giving Warned. These warnings for 70 years, the Palestinians, to the Israelis, right? Now today, Netanyahu gives a warning and all of a sudden he's the good guy in the room. He's a decent guy. He has the mercy. Man, the word mercy and Netanyahu, they don't go well together.
And I mean,
he's a merciless, merciless.
Yeah, butcher.
Butcher, baby killer, right? Who has committed a long list of crimes that he should be tried in the international court.
Yeah, yeah.
And hanged to death. You know, we call for this.
Yeah.
How can you just oppress so many innocent people?
Yeah, for so long.
For so long and still get away with it. In today's world, you know, it's not like we're living in some stone age.
And still wash your laundry in the White House.
Exactly.
Sorry to say that.
So this is what we're dealing with, you know, the double standards. The Palestinians have been very clearly telling them to evacuate. And they're saying it again. We are saying it again.
Yeah.
Evacuate the
occupied
land of
lands,
the innocent people and give it back to them. Let the people who want to come back to that land and are the natives of that land come and live there. And, you know, it includes the Jewish people, the Christian people, the Muslims people, even people of no faith, you know. At this level, we don't care who comes and lives in their houses, on their land.
You know, Sheikh Ali, another one of the things that we find that is quite, you know, commonly being said out there on the media is this idea that Iran is behind this movement and this mobilization, and that Iran has made Hamas, you know, do this this movement, this Al-Aqsa storm, you know, and Iran is behind this whole thing. I mean, is this true? What is really going on here?
Well, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei says, The supporters of the Zionist regime and some of the people of the usurping regime have been speaking gibberish in these two or three days, and it continues, which includes introducing Islamic Iran as being behind this movement. They are wrong, he says, right? It's not an Iranian-made plan to begin with. For starters, no, it is not an Iranian-made plan. When the Palestinians go and Al-Aqsa storm operation that they started, it was the Palestinians, the natives, like we mentioned before, they're the ones who carried it out at their own will. Hamas is there and other Mujahideen forces are there, right? They planned for it. It's not an overnight thing that, you know, today just Iran said, oh yeah, just go ahead and, you know, enter. No, they planned for it on their own.
It's a big operation.
And one thing the world needs to start coming to terms with is that Palestine and the Palestinian resistance today is stronger than ever before.
Yes.
You know, the only reason that they keep saying that, oh, there's a bigger player, Iran, behind the scenes, is because they're wanting not to acknowledge the fact that Palestinian resistance is strong, confident, equipped, well-planned, sophisticated, as we see in this last operation. They're all of these things, and the enemy Zionist regime and the mainstream media and the Western backing forces, the United States, the UK, the France, all of these, they just want to live in denial. So they're like, okay, if we give too much credit to Palestinians...
Well, we're utterly humiliated then.
Exactly. So what they say in return is, oh, Iran is behind it. So first and foremost, Iran is not behind it, right? Secondly, Iran's unwavering support for the oppressed Palestinians, it is not a new thing. Throughout the history, since the issue started, and since Imam Khomeini, Rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi, back in the day, announced that we are going to be supporting the Palestinian nation and Palestinian people, and we stand up for the rights of the oppressed, wherever they are, and we are going to defend Masjid al-Aqsa, right? When Imam Khomeini, he said all of these things, right? Imam Khamenei kept up with it. So, Imam Khamenei, he has been consistent in his support for the Palestinian oppressed, the nation of Palestine, right? So it's not a news. But to say that this operation was orchestrated by Iran in some form and shape, no. It's, again, the policies of the Zionist regime of Israel.
Right.
The constant subjugation and constant pressure that they have been applying on the innocent people of Palestine, it resulted in this. The world needs to realize this. There's no conspiracy going on. There's no proxy war going on. Palestinians are fighting for themselves.
The Zionists are to blame.
The reason they're trying to put it on Iran is because they are humiliated.
Right.
They can't take the humiliation that resistance force, which is the Palestinians, the Hamas and others, they were able to get into the occupied lands and claim even some of the villages back. They took the hostages for the first time, the civilian hostages, which you already said that these are the military people. They have trainings, right?
Yeah.
Even the women are trained, you know, they're spies. And plus they're occupiers, make it easy, you know, they're occupiers.
Yeah.
So they've taken these occupiers hostage in hundreds. I don't know what the number is right now. I saw somewhere 600, 700, something like this, right?
They've killed a lot of soldiers and...
Right? This is the first time
proper
ever.
Military people,
so they don't want to give a credit to a group. Hence,
they're as just, small as the Palestinians.
Exactly.
They just want like, you know, Iran. Besieged for 16 years.
Yeah. But Iran's unwavering support has always been there. And it's not just for the Palestinians.
It's for all
the oppressed.
The
Lebanese people as well. Mm. It's for the Yemenis people as well. It's for the Syrian people as well. It's
Islamic
for the Pakistani people
Nigeria.
As well. It's for the Kashmiri people as well.
Yeah.
Islamic movement of Nigeria, like Nigerian people. You know, Iran's unwavering support for the oppressed has been there. There's no two opinions about it, right? That's always been there. But to say that Iran somehow orchestrated this particular operation, there's no evidence of that.
Sure, yeah.
You know, this is, you know, what... By the way, in Iran's constitution, it says very clearly that they will and are supporting the oppressed no matter where they are.
Sure.
And that includes Palestine. They're no exception. Right?
Yeah.
So it's not a conspiracy theory, it's not a proxy war the way they're trying to pretend.
Mm. And so, Sheikh Ali, I think we're kind of getting close to the end, and I want to end with one question. And that is this idea of, it kind of comes down to us as Muslims, but, you know, I would like to take it to an even wider level, and that is the duty and the responsibility of the world. And you can break it down into two, you know, Muslim and non-Muslim, you know, however you want to. But what is our duty, what is our responsibility, and what we should do in the present situation?
I think when it comes to responsibility, as always, I say that it's not our job to define the responsibility of anyone.
Sure.
Right? It's the job of the leader of the Muslim Ummah, the deputy of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, to inform everyone about their responsibilities.
Sure.
And he has clearly spelled it out. So first thing I would say is, like, go read a speech. It's available on Khamenei.ir, what he wants done, right? Mm. What I have here is Imam Khamenei on October 10th, 2023. He says, of course, the Islamic world must not remain silent in front of these crimes. They must show a reaction.
They must show a reaction.
This is the bare minimum, right?
Not remain silent.
And he has talked about explaining the facts and realities on ground to people, jihad-e-tabyeen, as we have talked in the past as well.
Right.
This is something that applies to everyone.
Right.
Not just, you know, the Hoza students.
Right.
No, you have to relay and start relaying the facts, you know, in your circles. Just verify the facts first, and
sure,
then inshallah start talking to people, engage, inform them. Because you, at the end of the day, are the strength of the oppressed.
Yes.
Every single viewer. That includes, you know, us speakers as well, right? We are the strength of the oppressed. We are the voice of the oppressed.
Yes.
If we don't speak, then the oppressed is going to feel lonely.
Yeah, and they're going to be more oppressed.
If you look at the Zionist media, right, they're constantly spewing out their narrative, which is based on falsification.
Yeah, lies.
Lies, right? Propaganda, right? Why is it that, you know, 2 billion Muslims and many other people who are people of conscience, they cannot set the tone and the narrative based on truth.
Mm. Ascent, yeah.
Right? If they can, they're up against, what are these media organizations and institutes? They're like small pockets, right, as compared to the entire humanity.
Yeah.
Humanity needs to unite against them, right?
Yes.
And sometimes people say, oh, Imam Khamenei, the leader, you know, he said that, you know, but I'm the muqallid of Ayatollah Sistani, for instance, right?
Sure, yeah.
You've heard this argument,
so
many
usually
times.
Usually they try to weasel themselves out.
I brought, like, something from Ayatollah Sistani, too.
Alhamdulillah, good.
Just so that our brothers and sisters who are watching this, inshallah, they first know their own responsibility, and inshallah, then let the world know their responsibility in their own circles, right? And this statement is from October 11th. The speech we have been referring to from Imam Khamenei is October 10th. Right after that, the next day, October 11th, Ayatollah Sistani, Hafazahullah, who is in Iraq, his website, official website, and I have the link. If we can put it on the screen, that would be nice.
Sure.
The entire message is in Arabic, but you can easily take it and, you know, translate it using ChatGPT or Google Translate or whatever,
sure,
right? I'm going to read a part of that statement. It's a couple of paragraphs, 2-3 paragraphs, right? I'm going to read a part of that statement, and notice the words that he uses. Ayatollah Sistani says, the whole world is called to stand up in the face of this terrible brutality and to prevent most of the occupation forces from carrying out their plans to inflict more harm on the oppressed Palestinian branches.
The whole world.
He's addressing the whole world, mashallah.
It's a humanitarian issue.
This is where you turn for knowing your responsibility, right? When we talk about oppression, we do not consider religion and sects and this marja, that marja. No, we have a principled stance. We see the world, as Sayyidina Nasrullah said a few years ago, we see the world divided in two camps, the camp of the oppressed and the camp of the oppressors.
Right.
We're the followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is what our stance is. If a Jewish person is being oppressed, we are with that Jewish person. If a Christian is being oppressed, we are with that Christian. If a Muslim is being oppressed, Sunni or Shia or I don't know, like anybody else, any other denominations, we are going to support the oppressed, uplift the oppressed. And if there is an oppressor, it doesn't matter. Shahid Arif Husseini used to say it.
If the oppressor claims to be a Shia,
we will fight that oppressor.
Mm. Subhanallah.
You know, there's no partibazi, as they say it in Farsi, right?
Sure, yeah.
There's no taking sides and grouping.
Bias and prejudice. And
exactly.
The truth is truth.
So we see the world split up in two, the oppressed or the oppressors. Mm. In this case, too, we see Palestinians to be the oppressed and the Israelis, the Zionists, they are the oppressors, right? So be on the right side of the history, because the victory is for the mu'mineen, is for the believers, right? Victory is for those who stand up for the cause of the innocent and the oppressed people in the world. Mm. Victory is destined for those. It has been promised for those, right? We just have to pick the right side and do our share. If you can write a blog, write a blog. Write an article, write an article. Even like, you know, commenting on videos, you know, such as this one or others, right?
Or sharing videos.
You do that. Sharing that, spreading the word, right? Engaging with your own relatives, right? With your friends. You know, give them the truth.
Yeah.
And truth is powerful, trust me. Yeah. We're so close to the victory. And alhamdulillah, that promise of Imam Khamenei, or, you know, prophecy rather, he said that if we fulfill our responsibility, then Israel is not even going to see 25 years. Mm. And I think this is right now, what, the 7th or 8th year, something like that? Right? So alhamdulillah, we're moving quite fast, right? We're so close to victory. And where I started the whole talk, standing up against the oppressor is a sort of a victory.
Ascent.
You know, you're already victorious, those who are resisting against the oppressors, those who are supporting the oppressed.
Hmm.
Right? You should thank Allah for this tawfiq in whatever form and shape you are. If you are at an Islamic center, you know, you can write a piece of poetry, you know, recite it for the Palestinians against the Zionist regime, and it's, you know, masters, the Zionist regime and the great Satan of America, you know, do it.
Yeah.
This is an act of worship. It's an act of ibadah in Islam, if you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallah, Shaykh Ali Kumi. Thank you so much for joining us, talking about very important recent events. And inshallah, the victory is with the mu'mineen and with those who help and support the Almighty Allah. And surely the Almighty Allah will help and support them. Inshallah, until next time, we hope to see you soon. Jazakallah khair, and thank you so much, dear viewers, for joining us on Talk Show. We were having a quick analysis of the Al-Aqsa storm. May Allah bring a quick and beautiful victory to the Palestinian people. Inshallah, we hope to see you one day soon in Al-Quds. That's all from now. Until another talk show, fi amanillah, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.